Tonight we're reading from Matthew chapter 4, the last few verses, starting from 23. And my Bible has the heading, Jesus Heals the Sick. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea and the region across the Jordan followed him. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
If you've got a Bible, do turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. If you've not got a Bible, there's some down the front here. You might want to follow along. We're going to do a little bit of a scripture hunt tonight. Just wander up and get one if you need one. 25 or 30 years ago, this church made the decision to open Home Access as a charity to work amongst the homeless. And some people have thought, well, we're doing our bit now. We've opened the ministry and it's working. And, you know, it's at this point, 30 years on, seeing 80 odd folk a month, and we're doing our job. And then a few years after that, some of you were touching your heart and thought, you know, we need to take this ministry into prison. As you started prison fellowship, and Barbara and Lorna and Peter and others of you started going into the prison and sharing the ministry. And some of you will have thought, oh, we're doing it now. That's surely enough. And then 7 years ago, the Lord spoke to us about opening the food bank. At the time, there wasn't really a need here in Penarth, and we opened the food bank. And in that first year, we kept putting food into the food bank and throwing it away because nobody was coming. And yet now, 6 years on, 7 years on, in partnership with the other churches now in the area, we're seeing 80 people, 90 people a month come. And surely that's enough. And yet God has spoken to us again and said, no, no. So Jonathan's trained now as a debt counsellor, and we're looking at working with CAP, and we're looking at new ministries, and we're looking at buying that property over the road. And some people will be saying, surely that's enough. Can't we get on now with the proper business of being church? And I want to tell you tonight, this is the business of being church. That the ministry that we're called to is a kingdom ministry. And so what I want to talk to tonight is just very briefly about the notion of the kingdom of God and what kingdom ministry looks like. And it's the start of a series that we're going to be doing both in the morning and in the evening and in our small group. So if you don't like this series, you're really in trouble because you can't get away from it. Because in the mornings, we're going to be going through Matthew for about the next 3-4 months. And we're going to be looking at the parables of Jesus. Jesus talking about the kingdom of God is like a wedding, a banquet, a farmer. The kingdom of God is like. And then in the evenings, we're going to be looking, on Sunday evenings, we're going to be looking at miracles in the kingdom. What Jesus did as he preached about the kingdom. And then in our small groups, actually, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be going through the book of Matthew and in our Bible study groups, looking at how Matthew used the Old Testament to talk about Jesus. And going through some of the scriptures that Matthew uses from the prophets and from the law to talk about the ministry of Jesus. And it all focuses around this idea of the kingdom. Parables of the kingdom, miracles in the kingdom, the coming king. If you were to ask most Christians what the gospel is, most Christians would have a pretty good idea. We've all been pretty well trained in this. They'd tell you that it's about Jesus and about the cross and the death of Christ, about his resurrection, about his return to heaven, that we're all sinners and we need to give our lives. And that's all true. That's absolutely true. That is the gospel. It's the gospel that Peter taught. It's the gospel that Paul preached sometimes to certain audiences. They had different gospels depending whether they were talking to Greeks or to Jews or to pagans or to God-fearing people. But that's certainly the gospel. However, it is not the gospel that Jesus preached. And that's a bit shocking to us sometimes when we hear that, that is not the gospel that Jesus preached. If you've got a Bible, turn with me to tonight's reading, Matthew 4 and starting at verse 23. And it says this, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching in the NIV, the good news, in the King James Version, the RSV, the gospel, teaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness amongst the people. If you turn back a few verses to verse 17, it says this, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, the kingdom of heaven is near. If we were to go on to Matthew chapter 9, and I'm going to cut out some of the verses that I was going to read to you, but you'll just have to take my word that I can do this time and time and time again. Matthew 9 and verse 35, Jesus went through all the towns and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus, wherever he went, preached the gospel of the kingdom. And you can go to Mark chapter 1 and verse 14 and 15 and Luke chapter 4 and Luke chapter 8 and into the early church in the book of Acts in chapter 8 verses 6 through 12. The gospel that was preached by Jesus and to the early church was the gospel of the kingdom of God. And all of the gospel writers make that really clear. And it's this really interesting bit. Wherever they talk about the gospel or the good news, they talk about the kingdom of God. Now, the good news for Jesus and the early church was the gospel of the kingdom of God. So a bit of Greek here. The word for good news or for gospel is in Greek, euangelion. Well, you can tell the people who've been reading their Greek Bibles, you'll say, euangelion. We get it translated both as gospel and as good word, good news. It's made up of two Greek words. The first part is eu, that means good or well done. And the second part, angelion, means a message or tidings or news. Angelion is where we get the word angel from, a messenger of God, somebody who brings the news from God, the message from God. And so we get euangelion, the good news, the message that brings delight, that brings joy. And the NIV, as I said, translates euangelion through the gospel, so it's good news, and others talk about the gospel. It's the same thing, the same Greek word, just translated differently. So Jesus went about teaching the message, a good message, about the kingdom. So what's the kingdom? Well, another bit of Greek here. The Greek word for kingdom is basileia. We get our word basilica from it. And it means the reign or the rule of a sovereign or of a king. Now, when Mark and Luke talk about the kingdom, they talk about the kingdom of God. They're talking to Greek people. They can use the word God. It's fine. Matthew can't do that. He's talking to Jews, and Jews wouldn't say the name of God. That was blasphemy. So they talk about the kingdom of heaven. But it's the same thing that Jesus went about preaching the euangelion, the good news of the basileia, the reign and the rule of God. Jesus came around Galilee preaching and teaching good tidings about the sovereignty of the Lord God. But here's the thing. We've been really good for 100 years talking about Jesus and talking about the kingdom and talking about God. Jesus didn't just talk about the kingdom. He demonstrated the kingdom as well. He showed it practically as he moved around. From our reading tonight, Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues, it says, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness amongst the people. Healing those, it says, who were in pain, those who were distressed, those who had demons, those who were in oppression and bondage. Mark 9:35, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Luke 9, Jesus welcomed the crowds and he spoke to them about the kingdom of God and he healed those who needed healing. The Nazareth Manifesto. I've come to preach good news, what of sight for the blind and of freedom for the oppressed. Jesus went about speaking about the good news of the reign of God and demonstrating it with his actions, with his deeds, with what he did. And one of the things that we're rediscovering, or one of the things that we're revisiting, maybe is a better word, of what does it not just mean to talk about our faith, but to live out and show our faith practically as well. Now, one of the interesting things is that the phrase kingdom of God and the words kingdom of God explicitly don't appear in the Old Testament. They're a New Testament idea. We don't see them at all in the Old Testament. And it seems that the idea arose during the time between the two testaments. So between the closing of the Old Testament and the starting of the New Testament, in what's called the intertestamental period. And the idea came about because of the Israelites' understanding of what was going on. They knew that God had promised them the promised land. They knew that God had promised never to leave them and forsake them. They knew that they were the chosen people. And yet things weren't the way they were supposed to be. Things weren't working out the way they expected them to be. After the death of David, the nation had divided, and after the death of Solomon and David, and gone into decline. And from the heights of the Davidic kingdom, it had shrunk and shrunk and shrunk. They were divided as a nation. They were invaded as a people. And just about every nation on earth, anybody who was anybody, came in and beat them up at some time or another. They were invaded by the Assyrians and the Babylonians and the Persians and the Macedonians and the Greeks and the Romans. And they looked out and they said, how can this be? We're the promised people. We're the chosen one. God promised us this land. And yet everybody keeps coming and taking it from us. What is going on? And so they started to yearn for the day when the kingdom would be restored and put back to the way that it should be. They talked about the day of the Lord. The prophets spoke about the day of the Lord, when everything would be put back the way that it was supposed to. The day when David's kingdom would be restored. A Messiah would come, an anointed one, to sit on David's throne and put everything back just the way it's meant to be. That's what they were looking for. When they came back from exile, that's what their heart was. When will the kingdom be restored? That's why the disciples, if you read in the book of Acts in chapter 1, at the ascension, they turn to Jesus and they say, hey, you're the Messiah. Kingdom's not here. Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They were confused. They didn't know what was going on. They couldn't understand why the Romans hadn't been kicked out and David's throne restored. What he said is, you don't get it, do you? Basically. After all my time working amongst you and living, you don't get it, do you? It's not for you to know that, and you've got it wrong anyway. See, Jesus' vision was so much bigger than that. Jesus' mission was so much bigger than just restoring Israel. He had in mind not restoring the kingdom of Israel, but the whole world. His mission wasn't just to bring good news, a message to one people. His mission was to bring good news to the entire world and to put right not just what had gone wrong in Israel, but what had gone wrong in the whole of creation. He came to restore the kingdom of God, the rule and the reign of God over the whole of creation. God's picture of what the kingdom of God looked like and what restoring it like was just massive. So do you want a nation? I want the whole cosmos. The whole of creation. All that went wrong at the fall, when Satan usurped power and stole from humanity what its birthright was. I've come to restore that. I've come to put back Eden, to restore Genesis, to put the world back the way God intended it to be. Everything that was stolen by Satan and damaged and destroyed, I've come to put it back. When Jesus preached the kingdom and demonstrated the kingdom, he was saying, this is what it's supposed to look like. This is how it's intended to be in creation. When God created the world, this was how it's supposed to be. And I'm going to give you a glimpse now, through my miracles and through my ministry and through my preaching, of what the world's supposed to look like. So, in the fall, if I was doing this as a full sermon, as a bigger talk, I'd go in and we'd look at this in much more detail. But basically, very quickly, you have to trust me on this. But in the fall came all kinds of things. There came separation from God. Adam and Eve had to leave the garden. There came separation between people. So Adam and Eve start blaming each other straight away, and that unity they had, they becomes, well, it was her fault, she did it. Well, it wasn't my fault, it was the serpent's fault. And there becomes this division between people. Hunger comes into the world. Up until that point, they could eat whatever they wanted, just pluck it up and eat it. And now God says, you're going to have to sweat and toil. Hunger is going to come. Work is going to come. Sweat is going to come. Pain is going to come. Pain in childbearing, but pain and sickness and suffering is going to come into the world. And even death will come as a result of this fall. So, here comes Jesus now saying, I've come to show you what it looks like when this is all restored, when the kingdom of God is here, when the basilia, the reign and rule of God is here. I've come to show you what it's going to look like. And so where he saw hunger, what did he do? He fed the hungry. And he divided bread and he divided fish and he multiplied wine and he provided coins and he fed the hungry. Why? The Gospels call them signs. They point towards something else. Jesus is saying, this is what the kingdom looks like. There isn't any hunger. There isn't any want. Where there was sickness, he healed the sick. Where there was division, he brought people back together. Where people were excluded from worship, he drew them in. You're healed. Go show yourself to the priest and get back into church. Get back into worship. Your relationship with God is restored. Where God, people were far from God, he brought them home. Where there was death, he defeated death in the raising of the dead and in his own resurrection. He's pointing to a time to come and saying, this is what the kingdom looks like. The message of the kingdom is a message of restoration, which we only see in part now. It's the kingdom here and yet still to come. It's not here completely yet. But one day at the consummation of a kingdom, we will see a place where there is no more tears and no more crying and no more sickness and no more pain and no more dying. We will see a time when there's a great banquet laid out in the face of our enemies through the valley of death, the shadow of death. A place of abundance and plenty. That's why the Bible talks about the kingdom as a place where there's a banquet going on, a party, a feast, where there's abundance, tables laden with good things, a place of no more death or dying or separation from God. And here's the thing. If we are going to be Jesus' people in its fullness, then that's got to be our ministry too. If we're going to be people who follow Jesus, then it's no good just talking about it. Jesus came and he taught and he demonstrated the kingdom, and we need to do more than just preach. We need to do it. We need to tell people that Jesus says, but there's so much more. If we're to be Jesus' people, we need to preach good news that Jesus says. If we're to be Jesus' people, we need to be people who are involved with feeding the hungry. Because every time we do that, we push back the enemy kingdom a little bit and say, the kingdom of God is here. God reigns in this place. You're hungry, have a sandwich, have some food, because this is where our king reigns. When we come across somebody who's naked, we take clothes and we give it to them. When we come across someone who's homeless, we say, we're going to give you a home. We're going to find somewhere for you. When we come across people who are broken, then we want to restore them through our debt counseling, through our homeless ministry, through our recovery project that we're wanting to start up next year, the year after. If we're going to be Jesus' people, we need to be people who are healing the sick, praying for healing in every part of life, even amongst the dead. You know, one of the things, some people find this a bit weird that I do it, but those of you who've been to a funeral here in the church know that when it gets to the end of the funeral, every single time I step down off the platform here and I put my hand on the coffin and I pray. And people say to me, what are you doing? Trying to talk to the dead? What is it? I'm just praying, Lord, is this one the one you're going to raise? Yeah. I've had one or two people say, please don't praise. Don't pray that over my loved one. But that's what I'm doing. Why? Because I expect that that's what kingdom ministry looks like. And one day there's going to be a knock from inside the box. Because the kingdom of God is here. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is amongst you. If we're going to be Jesus' people, we've got to do this whole ministry. And every time we think we've done enough, God's going to say, a little bit more. A little bit more. A bit more sacrifice. A bit more cost. Another step. You've got the blades. But I've got another building for you. You've got the food bank. But I've got another ministry for you. Because the kingdom of God is advancing and forceful men lay hold of it. I don't know about you. I don't know about you. I want to be a Jesus person. I want to follow him. I'm done. Amen. Let me finish with some words from Matthew. Jesus said, as you go, this preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, now freely give. May now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit be with you and those you love this night and evermore. Amen. Let's close by saying together the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.